Now, that was so great. Thank you for singing along. I know that was a new song, but boy, did you listen to the words that were being expressed there? So true. You know, that song was actually developed to be sung by a mission organization in a whole bunch of other countries around the world all at one time in February of 2016, or at least on the same day. Over 100 million people got together and sang that song. Huh? 1 million. Yeah. I'm sorry, 1 million. That's still a lot of people, isn't it? You got to watch. I do numbers kind of like our government does with the budget. So we got to watch out. but still, 1 million people with the same vision, same desire worldwide singing a song like that is so good. I mean, just think, we get to be a part of that. That is our calling. Today we're going to be in the book of Haggai. And so I'd like for you guys to, you can kind of open up if you want to follow along in the Bible. Otherwise, if you just use the little note guide that you have in your bulletin, I want you to make sure you take that home with you, and that way you can kind of review today's message. If something happens that you ever want to listen to it again, you can go to either our Facebook page for Cadet Baptist Church, and there'll be a link there. Or you can go directly to our website, cadetforchrist.com. That's on your bulletins. And all of these messages get posted on that to where you can listen to them again. Or you can pass them on to somebody else. Because I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I forget stuff that I hear. And sometimes I can forget stuff that I hear almost instantly. And so I need to review stuff. So that's why we have it in writing. We have it on the screen. And we also have it available through a digital copy on that website. And so I want you guys to be able to make sure that we let it soak in. We look at the book of Haggai. He was an Old Testament minor prophet, and his time period was at the end of the exile to Babylon, whenever the Jewish people were let go after 70 years of being in Babylon, and they were given permission to go back to their homeland and rebuild the temple. Okay, and it was prophesied long before they even went into exile, by the prophet Isaiah, that this King Cyrus was going to be the one who gave them permission to go back. And Cyrus didn't even exist yet. And yet, whenever they're in exile, Cyrus found out his name was actually in the writing of the prophet. And it excited him to find out what it all meant. And we know that Daniel was in that exile period, and he was a man of God. He believed the word of God. And so that word of God was very present in that time. So King Cyrus did exactly that. He sent them back home, gave them permission to rebuild their temple and reestablish their worship in their homeland. As people were given permission to go back, there would be a temple in Jerusalem again. Now, historically, what happened was, if you look at the very first part of Haggai chapter 1, that's what we studied last week, the people went back and they got distracted. They got off course. They went back to rebuild the temple, and they were excited about that. But as they started to rebuild the temple, laid the foundation, they thought, boy, wouldn't it be nice to build our own houses? I mean, why should we be over here building this one house, the house of God, when we could be over here building our own houses? Because, you know, we need a house too. Has that ever happened to any of us? We set out, and we just know for sure what our calling is. And next thing you know, we start looking around, and we get distracted. That happens to me every time I go to clean up my shed. I go in there, and I get started. I got an amen from Ben, I think. You got to wade through my stuff still, you know, because I get out there, and I get to picking up these old projects that I started one time and get them out of the way, and I start thinking, well, maybe I could just work on this one and get it finished. And the next thing I know, I'm sidetracked again, you know. The main purpose isn't the main purpose anymore. Well, it might be sort of okay with my shed, but it's not okay when it comes to things of God. In fact, God went on to tell him in the first verses there, let's look at verse 4 there. This isn't on your sermon notes. We're going to kind of backtrack and reestablish. He says in verse 4, after the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses in this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." I think we always just need to consider our ways. We need to get up in the morning and consider our ways, don't you think? It's a good word here. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little, and when you brought it home, it blew away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you will withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and on the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil and whatever the ground brings forth on men and livestock and on all the labor of your hands. Let me ask you something. If God calls for that, can anyone else fix it? If God withholds his grace and he says, you will not prosper, can we overrule that by the power and strength of our own hand? It's impossible. No matter how hard we try, you will not be able to do it if it's in fact God who is withholding blessing, trying to wake a person up and say, look, this is the way you need to go. I mean, that's the case. If God's calling you to salvation and you're just resisting his will, has anybody ever experienced that? I did. I was in a place where I was going, no, I'm not listening. And everything around me just kept disintegrating and failing and getting worse and worse. And I was getting worse. And finally, I looked at myself and I said, my God, what has happened to me? This God who I didn't want to follow, whenever I finally got to the end of myself and looked up to heaven, and I said, help me. And he was there. He said, you come to Jesus. That's what I want. Forgive your sin, I'll give you what you need to move forward. And it has been a walk of faith ever since. Ups and downs. I got the valleys too. And the hilltops and the valleys and the hilltops. It's a series of them. But you know what? Something I've never doubted. Jesus is still with me. He is the one who's leading me. He is the one that's holding my hand. And sometimes he's the one carrying me. But he's still here and he'll never leave me or forsake me. He promised that. But I can tell you, I realized God had called on a drought on my life. And there wasn't no getting out of it except to go to him. He can do that in a society. He did with the people of Israel. His people. He can do it in a church. And so let's consider our ways. Let's consider our ways. And we're going to find out something today that changes everything. When God shows up, everything changes. Amen? And that's what's just about to happen in the story here of Haggai. They had been there like somewhere between 17 and 20 years, and all they basically had was a foundation laid, and everybody scattered and did their own thing, and they forgot about the job that they were doing there for God. And so it just sat there, and it just sat there, and it just was a disgrace, and it hurt God that his people had just turned away from him. And so he was withdrawing his grace from their lives, and praise God, he was kind enough to send a spokesperson who said, you don't have enough. You want to know why? Because you're not putting me first. And then, here's what happens next. Let's go ahead and continue to read on. You see one of the focus verses up there. But verse 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, that was the leader of the place, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, so he's the leader of the temple, okay? And with all the remnant of the people, listen to what they did. They obeyed the voice of God. The voice of the Lord their God. Right here it is, guys. When we hear from God, the next step is we need to obey. Okay? All right? Now they obeyed with their will first. They haven't even had a chance to do anything with their hands yet. Okay? They obeyed with their will. They were agreeing with God. In the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him and the people, and they feared the presence of the Lord. You see, whenever they experienced God, they decided to obey, and they were agreeing that he literally was the one speaking to them, and there was a fear that came over them because of the presence of the Lord. Now, I want you to understand this fear, because it has to be understood properly to understand what we're talking about here. They didn't run to a corner, curl up in a ball, trembling, and say, I'm so scared that I'm afraid to even come out into the open. That ain't the kind of fear we're talking about here, because sometimes we misunderstand this. It's a fear of understanding God's greatness, His power, that He is all-powerful, and He is in control. And it's respecting and revering Him to the point that we are willing to surrender to His will. That's the kind of fear we're talking about here. God is in their presence, and it overwhelms them. Anytime you look in the Bible that anybody literally comes into the presence of God, what happens to them? They are on their face. They are on their face, and they are unable to get up until God says, it's okay, you can stand, you rise. And in like 90% of the human encounters with what the one they knew was God, that's what we see. Now, other times, God was kind of in their presence, and they weren't 100% sure who it was, and when they found out, they were like in awe. And so, either way, that's an expression of the kind of fear of God that we need to have. God is in our presence right now through His Word. Are we going to obey His voice? That's where it starts. Okay? Then we look at it in verse 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, listen to this. So they obeyed, and they properly feared Him, and now God speaks again, and He says, I am with you, says the Lord. Isn't that a good word? Will it not reassure us to know God is literally with us? He is on our side. Isn't that an awesome thought? He's saying, you hear me, you're obeying me, I am with you. And He wasn't saying that before. In fact, He was withholding grace before. Now, He is saying, I'm going to give it all to you. Everything you need. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, all right, she switched it on me back there. All right. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message and to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. On the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Man, is that not exciting? And you notice I underlined that entire verse 14 because I think it is so crucial and so key. Guys, we obey, we fear. In other words, we're willing, because of God's greatness, to follow Him. He shows up, and then look at what He did. He stirred up their heart. And whenever He stirred up their hearts, have you ever had your heart stirred by God? Whenever you have your heart stirred by God, you know, this is what I need to do. There's no confusion about it. And you also have, like, the power to do it in. It's not a chore to you. You're not saying, oh, no, I guess I better get up and go to church today. If I don't, bad things are going to happen. It's not like that. When God stirs your heart, you're like, yes, it's Sunday, I get to go. This is going to be awesome. And struggles and trials come, but you go, wow, we're going to jump right over that hurdle, because when we get there, it's all going to be okay. We're going to experience closeness with God during this time, right? That's the kind of stirring up of the heart. He does that to us as well with different projects and things He wants us involved in. Studying His Word is a big one. You know, have you ever kind of felt a little bit, well, I don't know, and then you finally pick up the Bible, you finally obey His voice, you finally fear His presence, you look in His Word, and wow, it's like closeness with God is restored. How awesome is that? That's what it's like to serve the Lord in any area of Christian service when He stirs up our hearts. He stirred up this church's heart to build this building. And I'm going to tell you something. I showed up here, and I was excited. I came midstream. They already had the shell up, and they were starting to finish out the inside. These folks were excited about what they were doing. They weren't showing up on Saturdays going, oh, well, we got to work again on this thing. No, man, there was an excitement about it. We need that same type of excitement about going out and reaching our neighbors too, guys. About talking to that neighbor, talking to that person. And you know, I see that stirring in us right now. How many of you have handed out some of those cards? Have you handed out at least one card? Raise your hand. All right, well, we got some. Got some hands up. If you're not sure what cards I'm talking about, they're little, look like a business card. It's got a church name on it. On the back, it's got this website. They're back there on that second to the top shelf as you're walking out the back door of the sanctuary. Grab some. Check out that website. It's called truelife.org. And they've got us on a church finder map. If somebody gets on that website, they want to find a church in this area, they'll find us. Okay? And not just so we can build our church congregation, but so the people will be getting the Word of God. Because that's what changes our lives. So folks, I heard already this morning somebody telling me that they used one of those cards to invite somebody to church this morning on the way to church. I know we had two teams that went out and did visits yesterday. Went out and did some visits, and we were excited about that. We had a great time. We touched several different homes where people were at home, and they were happy to see us. Believe it or not, people were happy to see us. It was great. We had a good time. And see, that's because God stirs our heart to do it. Guys, here's the deal. Once their hearts were stirred, once they saw the benefit of doing this, there wasn't no stopping them. So it says what day they actually started to rebuild. Okay? They got back to it. It was the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Now, let's just kind of skip forward. We're not skipping teaching. We'll go back and teach through this. But let's skip forward to 2 verses 18 and 19, and let's see something here. Consider now, God speaks again, okay? So they were obedient. They were rebuilding the temple. I'm assuming at this point it's basically done. And then God speaks again. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yet yielded the fruit. But from this day I will bless you. So God's blessing comes down. And guys, if you count the days, started on around that time of the sixth month. This is the ninth month of the same year. They got done in 3 months what they couldn't get done in 17 to 20 years before. Do I get an amen to that? Amen. When God stirs His people's hearts to do something, guys, we are the most powerful force on the planet. And I'll tell you why. It's not because we're the most numerous, but it's because when God stirs our hearts and we're obedient, we have the power of the living God to do it. Wow, that's stronger than an atomic bomb. God's power is stronger than anything. And so that's where God wants us. Why? Because God showed up, because they feared God, and because God stirred up their hearts. I'm praying for a stirring of my heart. Are you praying for a stirring of your heart? Let's let God stir our hearts today that whatever He calls us to do, we'll get excited about it. We'll do it. Guys, it ain't by sheer numbers that we're going to win the lost, that we're going to accomplish God's will. It's going to be by His power alone. One person plus God is more powerful than all the majority put together. God, please stir our hearts today to just be obedient to Your voice, to do what You say. Lord, it starts with salvation. You tell us. You command us to repent and be saved. And yet there's so many that still are not doing that. Lord, even ones that they know You're calling, I pray that they'll surrender their will to You today. God, I pray for all of us that have been in the church for a while. Stir our hearts yet once again to continue on with You. Lord, stir our hearts. Make it a joy to us to serve in whatever way You would call us. Lord, if it's in the physical building, if it's in the spiritual building, if it's in all of the above, help us to do it with all our heart and joyfully serve you, Lord, knowing that it pleases you, knowing that you will pour out blessing, knowing that when we obey you, we find the power of God to do it. What does it mean to be surrendered to Christ? It means repenting of our sin, turning away from that, asking Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, turning our life over to Him, giving Him lordship of our life. That means He's the supreme master. And then going forward with Jesus. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Lord, even whenever we go through dark valleys and times that we're not sure what to do next, we're still going to look to you. We are still going to wait on you. We are still going to continue forward with you. Wait on your direction, not wait on sitting on our hands, sitting on our thumbs, but Lord, we're going to wait as we're moving forward to hear the next direction you give us. One direction we'll always have, make disciples of all nations. And so Lord, help us all to be involved in that endeavor in one way, shape, or form. Lord, there's so many needs in this church we need filled to really be a complete body. Lord, we're needing more young men who will set their lives apart to be leaders in this church, to continue forward. We're needing more of our young ladies to partner up with the more mature ladies in this church and be taught how to love their families, how to continue forward in the church as nurturers, as teachers in the children and with the other ladies. And Lord, we need more of our people that will be willing to sign up to drive a van or be here on Wednesday nights as well, Lord, to take care of the children that come in to learn and to be part of the prayer ministry. And Lord, that prayer ministry scares so many people because they're afraid they're going to be called on to pray out loud, and they are so afraid that they can't do that. Lord, no one is forced to pray out loud in this church. No one who comes on a Wednesday night is ever forced to have to pray out loud. Lord, we just want to come together like your word says and agree. And where we agree on anything that is your will, it will be done. Is that prayer service important? It is probably the most important service of all. Every service includes prayer in this church because, Lord, we can't do any of it ourselves. So I just pray that not only will you show up in all your power, but you would stir our hearts that we might serve you without hindrance. Put you first in our lives. And we see what happened here in Haggai. When they put you first, everything else fell into place. You promised them that you would bless their crop, you would bless their yield, you would bless everything from then on, and you did that. Lord, help us to follow you first. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all rise for a song. Anybody has something they want to bring to the altar to pray about? Anything the Lord's laid on your heart, please. No, God will meet you here. Does the clay tell the potter what to make out of it? Mm-mm. Potter decides. Let the potter decide what to do with your life too. And we just need to like give it all over into his hands. I know you all are praying for other people. And I know whenever you see those other people not really go the way that we want them to, sometimes it can get discouraging. I know all about it. Guys, thing of it is, God's not done yet. So we just need to continue on. You know what a lot of those other people are needing to see? Thus be faithful. And that's going to inspire them. When we keep going, even whenever they've dug in their heels and maybe even tried to hold us back some or whatever, told us we don't know what we're talking about. You see, when we're faithful, that's when God really shows up. So let's stay faithful. Amen? Let me pray over you one more time, and then we're going to see if we got any birthdays and anniversaries. Dear God, I just want to pray over this congregation, Lord, these dear brothers and sisters. Bless them today in everything. And Lord, I've been here almost 10 years. And Lord, I've seen some people leave because they said this church didn't do everything that they wanted it to do. Wasn't everything to them that they wanted it to be. The way that this church will become what everyone needs it to be is when we all work together to make it that. Lord, you created us to be a full body of Christ right here in Cadet. So help us, if we see a void somewhere or something that's lacking, that we will assume that since you've shown it to me, then maybe I'm one of the people that needs to be involved in that. And you've given me awareness, so that's why, so that I will be involved. And Lord, I pray that we will have the power of God and our hearts will be stirred to make sure that we don't quit till we see it happening. And so, Lord, bless this congregation today in their own personal walks with you, their own personal lives with you. Lord, that walk will be filled with the Spirit of God. That, Lord, it's going to make them be able to step high all week long because they're going to be walking with you. In Jesus' name, amen.